Wow. Thank you. Bless you. Wow. Lord, we thank you for that time of worship. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, Lord, so clearly. There's nothing that can keep us bound up. There's nothing that can keep us captive. You break the chains. They won't get connected again. You've broken them for good, Lord, and we live in the good of that. Amen. Wow. So good. Wonderful. Well, last week we heard Stephen preach so wonderfully on the passage of Jesus' baptism and how he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So chapter 4 begins with Jesus being led by the Spirit, and he then went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he resisted, didn't he? He went in the power of the Spirit, and he resisted. So the video for chapter 4 will begin now. All being well. There we go.
If you are a son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, an uncovering of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself, and you will tell me, I didn't hear in your own town, but we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, and the sky was shut for 3.5 years. There was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to Ephrathah, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, and yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he took people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about it spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and he left her. She got up at once and began to wait on him. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." And he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus got out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Wow, it's quite a chapter, this one. So I'm mainly going to, you could preach on so many things, couldn't you? But I'm mainly going to be focusing from 14 to 13. So you would think for years actually, I've always thought this, that those things that we've just seen happened, probably happened over a weekend sort of thing. One thing happened after another. But I found out that when Jesus did come into his hometown, after being in the wilderness and being tempted and resisting, that was about a year when he came back to Nazareth. So in between that time, he'd been throughout Judea, Samaria and Galilee, and he was rising in popularity. You can see that by looking at the other Gospels and see how the events took place. So by the time he was coming into his hometown, he was in the height of his popularity at that first year. So he was 31 when he came to his hometown of Nazareth. So in the classic way of preaching, I've got 5 points today. And they all begin with the letter F. So the first F is he was full of the Holy Spirit. Prior to Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, we look back throughout the Old Testament and people only, those great heroes of faith that we hear about, they only ever experienced a visitation of the Holy Spirit. It was only after Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, he was the first one to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that habitation of the Holy Spirit that we can enjoy today. That indwelling of the Holy Spirit was crucial for Jesus' ministry. It gave him the strength to remain pure and free from sin. It was the Holy Spirit that guided him and empowered him wherever he went. We're going to come back to that F a bit later in a different way. But we're straight on to the second F, and that is familiar. He was familiar to his hometown. He went to his home synagogue on the Sabbath day, as we've just seen, which was the custom. That's what you do. No doubt it was that same synagogue that he grew up in. So he probably, yeah, people would have known him well. And when he came back, he would more than likely have been the guest of honour. And he would have had the privilege. They would have had a number of readings. They read from different books, the prophets and other writings. But he would have had the privilege of reading, doing the last reading, and that was from the prophets. Remember, he was familiar to them. They thought they knew him. This is Joseph, the carpenter's son. We know him. We knew him growing up. He was always a bit different, but we know him. He's a good lad. And it made me think. So I look back upon my life and I would say I've always known about Jesus. He was always familiar to me growing up, being brought up in church, Christian family. I had that familiarity of Jesus. But I knew about him, I didn't know him. I wasn't living for him. I wasn't saved, and I knew it. I wasn't born again. I went to a Pentecostal church that every week, you must be born again, you must be born again. It's in songs, you must be born again. I loved it. It was a great church, but I knew I wasn't born again, but I still enjoyed it. I was familiar with Jesus. But it's not until, for me, something happened. An event happened in my life when I was 17. And I had that. It was my best friend. He was only 16. He was killed on his motorbike. I've shared this story before. And I had a motorbike as well. And it really shook me. And I called out to God the moment I heard that. And it was from the heart. I didn't say follow a book or a reading, I just called out to God in repentance, knowing how much I needed him. And it was a difference. This time, I need to get to know you. It's that kind of prayer. So it's not until the Holy Spirit that touches your heart and brings you to that place that you know you need to repent. And you turn around from the way you're going, that journey you're on, and you're calling out to him in faith. Jesus, save me. I believe you are who you say you are. That you were victorious on the cross. You even defeated death 3 days later, rising from the dead. So I'm going to ask, do you know him? Or are you just familiar with him? Do you know about him? Or do you know him as your Lord and Saviour? Do you have that personal relationship? He is not an option. He is an answer. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus wanted to know who Jesus was. Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Are you born again? As my old church used to ring out, "You must be born again." You must be born again. I know so many people who know about Jesus, and some of them are not born again. So I pray for them regularly, and already this morning I've prayed for some. So Jesus was in his hometown, in the synagogue, and they recognised him as the guest of honour. So the attendant then gave him the scroll, as we saw. It was the scroll of Isaiah. He gave it to Jesus that he might read it. He then unrolled the scroll and found that passage in Isaiah that we know is Isaiah 61. So I'm going to read that from Luke, verse 18. Wow, the Lord's been really speaking to us through this morning, hasn't he? "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, a recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Now, if you know the chapter in verse 61, Jesus stopped halfway through a sentence. He stopped, he closed the book, well, a scroll, in the middle of that sentence, and he sat down. Apparently, sitting down indicated that you were about to speak with authority. So everybody's eyes were on him. And this is the next F. He fulfills the scripture. He came to fulfill these prophetic words that I've just read. It was like his manifesto. As he inaugurates the church age prior to Pentecost. So we today are still living in the good of that. We are in that acceptable year of the Lord, that day of favour, day of grace, the season of Jubilee, as we've sung about this morning. Jubilee means every 50 years, back in ancient Israel, every 50 years, all your debts were paid. But that was only every 50 years. And we're living in 2,000 years so far of that season of Jubilee. Our debts are paid. Our sins are dealt with. They're all paid with. We don't have any debts. Praise God. So this is the church age that we are living in. These words that Jesus spoke are still applicable for today. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He's anointed you to preach good news to the poor. That's each and every one of us, because we have the Holy Spirit. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. I feel like just praying actually right now, just briefly. Because I know people who need to hear the good news. They are poor. They think they're rich because they're looking at this world's riches. But really they're poor because they haven't accepted Jesus. Let's pray for those that we would know who need that freedom, who are prisoners. Those who, the next verse goes on, recovery of sight for the blind. Now that could mean healing, but also could mean that somebody you love, just they can't see the truth. So spiritually speaking, they're blind. To release the oppressed, those that are bound up by chains. The enemy is preventing them from being the free person that the Lord has called them to be. Now, I know somebody very close to me that I pray for there. This is the year of the Lord's favour. So let's just pray, shall we? And you, in your minds, as I pray, just lift those people that you know up to the Lord. Just speak them under your breath by name. Lord, we pray for those that we know and love that need to hear the good news. They are poor in spirit. Lord, we pray for those who are prisoners. We pray freedom for the prisoners, Lord. Would you set them free? Set the captives free this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray for those who are prisoners. For, Lord, those who are unable to see the truth of your word and they are blind to it, we pray that you would open their eyes, their spiritual eyes, and they would call on your name. And, Lord, we pray for those who are sick. Those, Lord, that need your healing touch. We pray that they'd be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for those who are oppressed by many things. Maybe it's a syndrome of one kind or another. Lord, you are the one that sets those captives free, those who are oppressed. And we lift them up to you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what was the rest of the chapter in Isaiah that Jesus didn't say? We sung it, actually. It was the year of vengeance of our God, wasn't it? But he wasn't proclaiming that at that time. We are still in that year of favour. The year of vengeance is still yet to come. Now, we're not going to get too much into this because I've preached on it before. But it is a time after the church age. After the church age, then it'll be a time of Jacob's trouble, time of tribulation. The church will have been raptured. And as Isaiah prophesied, it will be the day of vengeance of our God. It will be a day of tribulation and trouble. There is a time that is coming soon and very soon where God's wrath will be poured out upon the earth. That will be at the end of the church age, time of tribulation. You don't want to be here when that happens. This is why I say again, you must be born again. The fourth F. Jesus was fearless. So as we've seen, when Jesus spoke to them, they were filled with wrath towards him. Through the things that he was saying, they were probably jealous and all of that chapter went on to speak about how people were set free, people were healed, and they weren't Jewish. They were from other places. And they were probably jealous about those things. They were filled with wrath towards him. And they threw him out of the city, as we saw, and took him to that cliff edge to throw him over the cliff. But it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the time when Jesus was going to die, was it? He was fearless, totally fearless. So cool, you might like to say. Excuse me. I've been looking into this, and the place where they could have thrown Jesus from the cliff was probably more than the distance permitted for a Jew to walk on the Sabbath. So they probably couldn't walk as far as the cliff. They would have realised that if they would have walked that further on the Sabbath and continued with their plan, they would have reached the marker that would have indicated how far they should walk on the Sabbath. That's quite interesting. I thought that was quite a revelation. But I love, it portrayed it very well on there, how Jesus turned around and faced them, and he just walked straight through it. He walked straight through them. It reminds me of the lines of that song. You split the seas that I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. So if you're facing something in your life, a storm, a sea, a mountain, a difficulty, whatever it is, know that you can trust Jesus. You can trust him completely to give you the grace and enable you to walk straight through it. You can trust him. I kind of experienced some of that this week, because this week's been quite a week. As some of you know, my mum had died, and so we had the funeral this week, and there's been lots. It's been a really busy week preparing this as well, but every day, this whole week was looming. Weeks back, this week was looming. Oh, how am I going to get through this? I've driven to North Wales and back as well. And yeah, it was quite daunting. But every day I've known the Lord's grace. Every day, his favour. If you commit it to him and ask him to help you, talk to him about it. At the beginning of this chapter, and again in verse 14, we read that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. If you are born again, then you too are full of the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave you. We have that habitation of the Spirit and not just a visitation. I read in Isaiah 132 it is, I think, how King David longed for a habitation. He experienced the visitation of the Holy Spirit at times, but he longed for the habitation. So he was longing to build a temple so that would be a habitation for the Holy Spirit. Well, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit in the age that we're living in. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's dwelling within us. And this is one of the mysteries, the wonder of the church, that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit right here, right now. Each and every one of you who knows Jesus as your Saviour, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to stir the Holy Spirit in us by talking to him, asking him for strength. But it's there. It's there. You may not be aware of it, but he's there. I like to think of it this way. And this is the final F. So I used to have, as you know, I'm a painter and decorator by trade, and you have to have music on or the radio on when you're doing that job. Nowadays it's podcasts, actually. But I used to have this old radio, the old type of radio where you'd have a knob that you turn to get the tune-in knob to get the right station. Well, this radio I had an extra dial, and it was called a fine-tuned knob. So you could just, sometimes then you go too far, so you go back and get it just clear. That was really good. So that, I think that's a good picture. So the moment we're born again, we become tuned in to the Holy Spirit, and we are on God's wavelength. We can live our Christian life without acknowledging the Holy Spirit, but he is there. Sometimes we can quench the Holy Spirit. He is still there. It is far greater, as Jesus has demonstrated throughout the Gospels, to not only be on God's wavelength, but to be tuned into God and to seek that fine-tuning of the Holy Spirit. To have an ear, to hear what he is saying, and to use the gifts that he's given you. Each and every one of us have a gift from God. A Holy Spirit-given gift. And the power of God is released whenever that Holy Spirit is obeyed. So sometimes you might feel provoked by the Holy Spirit. When you obey the Holy Spirit's leading, the power of God is released. I have to say that there are times, actually most Sundays, when I'm about to lead the prayers, Often I haven't got a clue. Well, what I'm going to pray, I've got no idea. Sometimes I'll be led by something from a song or something like that. But very often I'm like, help me, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What do you want me to pray? Something like that. I want to pray the prayer you want me praying, Lord. And even in this week, on Wednesday, my dad wanted me to lead a prayer time at my mum's service of Thanksgiving for her life. And I thought, oh, this is different to what I'm used to praying on a Sunday morning. But again, I just trusted the Lord. And the song before, when I was about to stand up, was singing. I was, help me, Holy Spirit, please help me, give me the words. And he does. He never lets you down. He never lets you down, you know. You can trust him. He's so faithful. So let me encourage you. You might be led to the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to do something. And it's a bit like that, you know, that Indiana Jones, that bridge of faith. You can't see it, but you need to step out. You can't see it, but you know there is a bridge there. And he'll give you exactly what you need. Step out. Let me encourage you to step out in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's so easy to be consumed by the things of this world, isn't it? But when we're in that communication with the Holy Spirit and we ask him for help, especially when we don't know what to do or say, when you ask him, what do you want me to do for you today? That's a good thing to pray when you get up. First thing, get up. Oh, Lord, what do you want me to do for you today? Holy Spirit, speak to me. Come and fill me afresh today. Engage with him. And see him work in power in your life. Turn that delicate, fine-tuning knob to hear him clearly. So we are tuned in. So let us pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that moment we already, before we called out to you, you were at work in our hearts, bringing us to that place of repentance. And then that moment, Lord, we truly believed. You came and dwelt within us, and you are there. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us right now. That same power that Jesus had during his ministry over those 3 years is the same power within each and every one of us. So when we pray for somebody who is sick, when we pray for somebody who is oppressed, when we pray for somebody, maybe one of our loved ones that don't know you, there is power. There is power in our prayer. And there is power in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for us today. I thank you, Lord, actually, that you've given each and every one of us a gift of the Holy Spirit, so that the body, this church, the body of Christ, works effectively. Every member operates as it should do, and that is a healthy church. So I pray for us, Lord, if we haven't stirred up those gifts or stepped out in faith for those gifts, I pray that today, Lord, you would show us what our gifts are. And I pray that today we would step out in faith, knowing that you never let us down, and that we would begin to exercise the gifts that you've given us, so that we're a healthy church where every member, every part is playing its part. Because, Lord, we don't want to be a church that's hopping along on one leg and fall over every now and again. We want to be a church that can run forward and go where you want us to go as a church. Thank you, you're changing, Lord, the church. You are always changing the church, and that's a sign of a good and healthy church. Lord, we thank you the 100 years of history that we're celebrating this year. Thank you, Lord, that this church isn't what it was 100 years ago. It's not what it was 50 years ago. It's not what it was 10 years ago. It's not even what it was last year. It's already, it's that healthy, evolution, it's that evolving work that you do, Holy Spirit, in your church. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to move us in the direction you want us to go, all for your glory and for the salvation of Bromham and the villages around. We want to see people saved, Lord. We want to see people saved and added to the church. Lord, come and fill us with your Holy Spirit now as we sing this next song. And I'm also aware that if you feel oppressed, if you feel as though you're blind and your eyes have been opened this morning and you can see the truth of the gospel and you want to know Jesus as your Saviour, or if you're sick and need healing, then come and speak to me, Andrew, Linda, it's another person who would love to pray for you. Come and speak to us, and we would love to lead you through whatever it is that you want to receive. So let us receive now as we sing this song. Amen.
Your presence.